Here we go to hour number two. What's going on? Welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome. I am live. I'm in Southern California, and I am in the Quicken Loans studios. We're a simulcast on radio and on TV. Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Lots to get done. Telephone number is toll-free. Phone lines are open. We bang telephone calls a little bit later on. But as promised, we are joined right now by a safety for the Tennessee Titans. He is a first-team All-Pro, a Pro Bowler. He tied for the NFL lead in interceptions last season with 8. 87 tackles, 16 passes defensed, 2 fumble recoveries last season. A 2-time first-team all-conference player at Middle Tennessee State, he was the 64th player taken overall in the 2016 NFL Draft. Kevin Byard is my guest. Kevin, it's great to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Jim?
Good, good, Kevin. Listen, I would ask you how your offseason's going, but I think I've got an idea because you started to work out with your trainer from Middle Tennessee State just 2 weeks after the Pro Bowl, so I know you're already looking ahead to next season. That said, take one last look back at last season. How much pride do you have in the fact that you broke out the way you did in just your second year in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, my confidence is definitely riding pretty high going into the season. I know we have a new coaching staff, new defense coordinator, and things like that. But, I mean, at the end of the day, man, with the success I had last year, I just want to continue to build on top of that. And like I said, man, try to have another All-Pro year.
Kevin, I was going to get to that a little bit later on, but since you mentioned it, there are some changes this past offseason. You've got a new head coach in Mike Vrabel. You've got a new D coordinator in Dean Pease. I know it's early on, but what are your early impressions so far?
I mean, I think it's been going pretty well, man. I mean, we just had our first week of offseason training, just phase one. A bit of an introductory to the defense and to the new playbook and things like that. I definitely like the scheme. I think DMP is going to be just another Dick LeBeau. I mean, it's great to have, you know, a legendary coach in Dick LeBeau to be having another legendary coach in DMP. So transition is not going to be hard at all.
Kevin Byard, my guest. Now, Kevin, when you and I spoke during the season, we talked about the fact that you set school records for interceptions at Middle Tennessee State. So it's not come as a complete surprise to anybody that you're doing what you're doing in the NFL. But at the same time, you were, in your own words, maybe a diamond in the rough that people did not fully appreciate how good that you could be. Did you know that you would be this good this quickly, or maybe did you surprise even yourself a little bit?
I mean, I wouldn't sit here and say that, you know, I just knew coming to this year I was going to have, you know, the season I had. But one thing I will say, you know, in training camp, I actually made it one of my goals that I wanted to have 10 to 12 plus turnovers this year, and I ended up reaching that goal. So, you know, I always think about setting goals and, you know, trying to set your goals pretty high so you can have some chasing. I think that's something I've always done my entire career playing football, is always setting my goals pretty high and going to work hard to get those goals. So I think this year is about setting even higher goals and having higher expectations for myself.
All right, so expectations and goals. Quote, you said, I'm chasing greatness. First-team All-Pro, Pro Bowl is not enough for me. I'm trying to get a gold jacket, and we chasing rings. End of quote. So knowing that, did you give yourself a chance to enjoy the accomplishments of last season, or did you immediately start thinking about those bigger things?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really want to get caught up in, like I said, again, you know, I mean, I have enjoyed the fruits of my labor a little bit. I took a trip with my fiance this year. I mean, that was pretty fun. But at the end of the day, you know, the work is not done. I think that, you know, the moment that you get caught up in all the accomplishments you have is the moment you start falling off. I don't want to have any kind of slump from last year. So, you know, I got straight back to work 2 weeks after the Pro Bowl, and I was grinding hard with my trainer. So, you know, I'm always about just setting goals and completing those goals and then setting new goals. Because at the end of the day, you know, I want to look back, you know, when I'm done playing to – you know, like I said, trying to enjoy those things. But as of right now, I'm in full grind mode.
Kevin Byard joining us. Listen, I would argue that when you have the kind of year you had and you lead the league in interceptions and you're a first-team All-Pro, among other things, you would think that your name would be household in the NFL right now. But then there was a very interesting incident earlier in the offseason on Twitter when a particular analyst did not seem to know who you were. As you look back, Kevin, what do you make of that whole thing?
You know, I don't really take anything up at this point right now. I mean, it's kind of – then I've kind of been put it behind me. And like I said, I mean, I'm just one of those guys who I've been overlooked, you know, a lot, you know, my entire career, from not even getting invited to the combine with the statistics that I had in college. So I always just look at that as keeping that chip on my shoulder and not always thinking that, you know, just because you did this, because you did that, you know, guys are going to respect you. You always have to fight for your respect. I mean, this, you know, the NFL is a year-by-year league. So, you know, you're only as good as your last game. You're only as good as your last year. So I want to always keep that in the back of my mind, saying that, hey, just because I was a 13 All-Pro this year, you know, this season, totally different season. You have to go out there and work as hard as you did last year, and so you can, you know, like I say, continue to have the season or have to be the player that I want to be.
You know, you just said it yourself. You already put it behind you. You know, maybe there's a little bit of a chip on your shoulder because of it, but you put it behind you. I know your teammates, though, didn't necessarily do so. As an example, Logan Ryan was chirping at you during a workout saying, just a fan? That boy ain't no fan. He ain't no fan. So what was your reaction when you heard that from your teammates in a workout?
I mean, it's just fun, man. It's all in competition. It's all about, you know, trying to make each other better. I mean, at the end of the day, I do have it in the back of my mind at the end of the day, but it's not something I'm using as motivation. I don't want to use, you know, the comments that, you know, Deion said to build my name up off that. I want to build my name off my work ethic, my grind, and what I put on the field. And at the end of the day, if guys don't respect it or if anybody doesn't respect it, not just saying him, if anybody don't pay attention to what I'm doing, it's all good because I feel like at the end of the day, you know, in a couple more years, I will be a household name and everybody would trying to look back at those situations saying, hey, we should never doubted that, man.
I think we're already looking at it like that. Kevin Byard, my guest. I mean, in a way, you could say there's a level of disrespect, but maybe, Kevin, not just to you, but does it feel like it maybe for the entire secondary, and do you feel like maybe the entire group is not getting the attention or respect that it deserves?
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily even say that because I feel like you have to earn respect. I don't feel like we've done anything as a secondary that, you know, earns the respect of, you know, the Denver Broncos of years past and, you know, some of the top secondaries in the league. So at the end of the day, I feel like we have to go out there and put up those numbers to give people something to respect at the end of the day. So I feel like, you know, we're not afraid to put it out there. We're not afraid to say that we want to be the best and we want to be the best secondary. And we're putting the work, you know what I'm saying, we're putting the work in to do it. So at the end of the day, when you put the work in, it's only going to put us in position. But at the end of the day, we still have to go out there and make those plays. And like I said, I think, you know, with the work, the guys that we got this year, we're definitely in a great position to beat that.
All right, so fair enough. When you look at who you had last year and the productivity you had last year, the work you're putting in right now, and then you add a guy like Malcolm Butler, how good can this group be next year?
Like I said, I think we can be one of the best secondaries in the league. I think it's just all about putting the work in and week out. Like I said, learning the new playbook and, you know, just getting that chemistry with each other. I think having Adoree, Logan Ryan, and Malcolm Butler, it's like having three number one corners, and I feel like that's great to have. It's definitely not a problem. So I think, like I said, if we could just put it all together and go out there and compete with the best in the league, man, I think we could definitely be the best.
Kevin Byard joining me for a few more moments. So last year you get your first taste of the postseason. What do you remember about that atmosphere and the intensity of those two games? And once you've had that taste, how much hungrier does that make you going forward?
Man, it was definitely totally different than the regular season. I think just when you walk out there for the pregame warm-ups, just doing your warm-ups, you can just feel the atmosphere, you know, in the stadium that this is not a regular game. You know, everything is on the line. It's wonderful home. And I think just having that taste of the postseason, you can use that to your preparation in every single game. They're saying that if you treat every game like a postseason game, I think you could definitely put yourself in position to win every single game. And I think just having that taste of, you know, the entire team, having the success that we did, especially with people not even expecting us to get that far in the playoffs, I think it just adds a boost of confidence going to this offseason saying that, hey, we had a good year last year. We know we can be good, but we have to go even harder this year to become great so we can, you know, reach that next pinnacle.
And then, Kevin, the team broke out the new uniforms. You saw the uniforms before the public did. What were your first impressions of the new gear?
I mean, I always felt like it was great. You know, I think it definitely adds another level of excitement to this season, having new unis. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, when that first preseason game, and I think the fans really see us come out there, those jerseys, man, I think it's really going to signify who we are, man. Titans, man, it's definitely something electric. I think it's fierce, and I think the owners did a great job.
I mean, Kevin, there's some electricity in that town now. When you see the way the city responded to the Nashville Predators, and you see how 20,000 fans showed up Wednesday night for the unveiling of the new uniforms, what's that say about that fan base that you have?
I mean, it's just growing. Like I said, I've went to Middle Tennessee, so I've been in the Tennessee area for about the last 6-7 years. And I could tell you, when I was a freshman in college, nobody watched the Titans football. I mean, I didn't want to watch it on Sundays. I think, it was just a bad team. And I think just the past few years with just the excitement, the winning that's been going on, you can see how the city is just responding to that. And then, like you said, the Predators, they're in the playoffs right now. They had a big win last night. It's just a great time to be a Titan right now. It's a great time to be in Nashville.
He is a safety for the Titans. He is a first-team All-Pro and a Pro Bowler, tied for the NFL lead in interceptions last season with 8. Kevin Byard, my guest. Kevin, great to have you back. Thanks a lot. Have a great offseason. Talk to you again next year.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you, Kevin. Thank you. It's a really good player who's getting better. 2 years in, had a huge year, a huge second year. And Smashville, man, there is some positive energy. He said it himself when he was in college. And keep in mind, 2 years in, when he was in college, he said, the Titans, man, nobody cared about them. Nobody cared about them. At that time, they were not a good team. And now look, 20,000 fans show up for the unveiling of the uniforms. You've seen the Preds? They would kill in that town if that team made a deep run in the playoffs or won a Super Bowl. Can you imagine what the Lombardi would be like bringing it back there? Other breaking news this morning, the Cowboys releasing Dez Bryant. Statement from Jerry Jones. Quote, this is a statement from Jerry Jones. As an organization, we hold Dez Bryant in the highest regard. We are grateful for his passion, spirit, and contributions to this team for the past 8 years. He will always be a valued member of our family. Dez and I share a personal and professional relationship that is very strong, and he is one of just a handful of players with whom I have become that close to over the past 30 years. This was not an easy decision. It was made based upon doing what we believe is in the best interest of the Dallas Cowboys. We arrived at this crossroad collectively with input from several voices within the organization. Ultimately, we determined it was time to go in a new direction. None of that is surprising. Standard statement. You could have written that. I could have written that. Anybody could have. Not surprising. They were moving in this direction. It was trending this way. He is not the player he used to be. It's a big number under the cap. They're going in a different direction. You knew this was coming. So now where does the guy end up? Cowboy fans. Hey, I mean, I'd love to come out with some crazy hot take for you, but there isn't one. This is not surprising. You knew this was going to happen. Now that it is official and it has gone down, what is your reaction to it? How much do you think he has left, and is it going to come back and bite them in the backside? Like I said, I'm shocked that the Cowboys did as good a job of managing this as they did, that this was not a bigger thing throughout the offseason than it is or could have been. So that's the story this morning that is breaking. Dez Bryant cut by the Dallas Cowboys. Other news. Capitals had a bad night last night. Another game that they were in control of, that they were going to win, gets away from them in the postseason. James Harden. Seems like it's a foregone conclusion he's going to win the MVP. Or then maybe it's not. Where do you come out on that? Who should be the MVP? Is this guy going to run away with it or not? If there was any doubt whatsoever, there wasn't after that GQ article dropped. My man got off some great, great lines. It's Friday. The postseason's about to get underway. Could I possibly slam a Tristan Thompson story into the proceedings? Maybe. Normally, I'm not about that at all. That family, that genre, the entire thing. But, you know, you push this thing this far, and you get to this point, and the guy does run with LeBron James, and LeBron got him that fat deal. And then all of a sudden, you know, maybe it is a sports story. Maybe it's enough of a distraction, and this guy means enough to them and their chances that maybe it becomes a sports story. You know, when you take that genre and the fact that this guy went dirtbag the way he did and ran around on his 8-month-old pregnant wife and then hit the floor at home and his own fans booed him, then maybe it is a sports story. Maybe I will get there. And we're back in San Diego, so we're talking Padre baseball. Padres manager Andy Green in hour number 3. Telephone number is toll-free. It's wide open. Hit us up. Open phones right now. 1-800-636-8686. Cowboy fan, like, exactly what are you waiting on? It's done. It's official. Dez is gone. He's done. What's your reaction? I know you saw it coming. You had time to think about it, and now it's here. This guy's done. He's gone. They broke him off. Your thoughts on it, your reaction when we come back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Rolling through it. My thanks to Kevin Byard. Still weeks away from the NBA MVP being announced. But now that the regular season is over, we can finally review the candidates. Lots of guys who have a legitimate look at the NBA MVP, starting with James Harden. He's not the only one. Damian Lillard had a monster year. Giannis, Anthony Davis. Lots of guys have a legitimate look at this thing. I mean, Damian Lillard had one monster performance after another. The Greek Freak is a monster. How about Anthony Davis? This guy put the Pelicans on his back after Boogie went down. He averaged nearly 28 and 11 in March and April. And that was a step down from 35 and 13 in January. AD. What's good, AD? AD had a 45-point game, 17 boards, 5 blocks, 5 steals on a Friday. Then had a 53, 18, and 5-block game on a Monday.
AD, what's good, baby?
Man, what's not? Everything's good with AD. 27 and 13 in between. In any other year, he's MVP. What's good, AD?
AD, what's good, baby?
And then you've got LeBron, right? LeBron could win the MVP every single year. Literally, LeBron could win the MVP award every single year. And I will finish that thought momentarily. He could win the thing every single year. Now, this guy played in the NBA 14 years. He was a McDonald's All-American. He was the 13th pick in the 1999 draft out of Duke, a member of the Big Three League, the captain of the Power. Big Three season tips off on June 22nd in Houston. We are joined by Corey Maggette. Corey, good morning. What's up? How are you?
What's going on, the legend, Jim Rohn? How you doing?
Corey Maggette. Man, I'm great. How about you? How are things?
I'm doing great.
Dude, you played 14 years in the NBA, and you've created a really nice role for yourself as a basketball analyst. So take me back to last year, Corey. When you first heard about the Big Three, what was your reaction, and what made you think, you know what, I get this, I like this, I want to be a part of it?
Well, first of all, I was selected to be one of the captains for Team Power. From there, you know, it was just kind of just thinking about if my body can hold up. And then you had an opportunity to kind of play with majority of those guys you've seen back when you played. And so last year, tried it out, ended up getting hurt the first game. But looking forward to this season and all the new faces. And, you know, we got the new commissioner with Clyde Drexler. So looking forward to it.
Corey Maggette, my guest. You know, it's unfortunate you got hurt in that first game, but you got back out there. I mean, what did it feel like to get back out there and to compete once again?
Jim, you know what? It felt good. I mean, you know, the first game was out in Brooklyn, and, I mean, the fans there was amazing. It's about, you know, 17,000 to 18,000 people there. So it actually kind of put you back in that atmosphere and mindset of playing in the NBA. It was a great experience. Guys really love to get back on the floor and be competitive. And again, you know, even this year, it's going to be more competitive with so many new faces that's going to be in the Big Three.
Yeah, I mean, Corey, you're touching on this, but I kind of want to stress this, because before last season, I think that folks had the impression that it's a league where you're going to have a bunch of famous guys out there having a little bit of fun. But the fact is, man, these guys are wired. You guys are wired a certain way. When you got out there, was it serious business? And how much do the competitive juices flow even in that format?
Well, Jim, it was definitely competitive. I mean, I remember watching the first game and how competitive, far as, you know, just the contact, because first of all, it's hand checking. So it kind of goes back to, you know, almost like a little bit of that old school basketball. And guys is ready to compete. And you know, the thing is that a lot of these players have been playing in all season, playing in rec leagues, and all of a sudden you get this opportunity to play in the Big Three. And when they throw the ball up and you have those 14 seconds to try to score the basketball, you know, it's seriously got competitive from, hey, I'm happy to be here, to, hey, man, I want to kill this guy on the court.
Corey Maggette joining us. He's the captain of the Power. Now, the draft was held, and your team drafted Birdman, Quentin Richardson, Ryan Gomes. How do you feel about those additions?
I feel good about it. I mean, I think last year was we needed more size. And when I got hurt, you needed someone to really step up. So, for me, you know, more of assurance policy, Quentin Richardson would be great, you know, just in case Mia Catino goes down, you have another guy that can take care of that load. Then from there, we have Big Baby as well, who is one of our captains. And then you look at Birdman, you know, only maybe a year and a half removed from the league, but, you know, this is another guy, has size, you know, can guard multiple positions in that 3-on-3 setting, shot blocker, you know, can set hard screens, roll to the basket. And I thought that was a huge pick for us. Then Ryan Gomes. Ryan Gomes is one of the G League assistant coaches right now. And he brings a lot of veteran leadership. He's definitely a cerebral player, so he understands the game. And at his size, he's 6'8", 6'9". So you bring more size where you can actually switch more off those screens with the 3-on-3 setting.
Corey Maggette breaking it down and joining us. Now, Corey, you're the captain of the Power, but you're going to be coached by Nancy Lieberman, who's going to make her the first female coach in a men's pro league. How proud of you are that of that fact, and what do you think that's going to be like?
You know what, man? If you just look at Nancy's track record, I mean, she was one of the first to start off in the NBA, and then next after that was Becky Hammon. But she's a Hall of Famer in the WNBA. She knows the game. She loves the game. She's still working for the Pelicans right now that made it to the playoffs. You know, I'm just excited that she is able to coach us. But more importantly, she knows this game, and she knows players. I mean, every single player that's in that draft, she had them written down. She knows their tendencies. She knows exactly what they can do on the floor. And so you bring another person that understands this game and loves this game. You know, I don't care if she's a man or a woman. You know, it was just about bringing someone in that can be a great coach. We had Clyde Drexler last year, another Hall of Famer. And now we have the pleasure of having another Hall of Famer in Nancy Lee.
Corey McGetty, my guest. Now, Corey, you're playing in this league, but you're also working as an analyst, and you made that actually look really, really easy. What's that experience been like for you?
Jim, you know what? It's been great, you know, just the experience to talk about the game of basketball. I had some great mentors that allowed me to step into this role, which I'm very thankful and blessed about. It's been great to talk about the Clippers, the team that I was with for almost 9 years. And kind of to break down the things that team is doing. They have a uphill battle ahead of them with the changing pieces and trying to figure out what they're going to do with some guys in the offseason. But it's been such a pleasure to be able to do it.
You know, Corey, before you go, you had 9 years with the Clippers. You had a couple of really nice years with Golden State, too. But at a time when Golden State was not having a lot of nice years, what do you think, when you look at Golden State right now and you see how dominant they are and how that fan base has responded?
You know what, Jim? It was great being there. And the fan base, even when I played, you know, they were still strong. And one thing about Golden State, they have true fans that's going to support their teams no matter what. You know, I had the pleasure of being with Steph Curry his first couple of years as a rookie and his first-year player and seeing a development in him. And all of a sudden, you know, he turned the switch on and became this unbelievable player, two-time MVP. And you know, you look at Bob Myers as a GM, what he has done to draft. I mean, think about it. You had Jerry West there who was able to, you know, kind of, you know, facilitate the things that happen within the program. He's a guy that has a huge track record in being successful. They was able to get Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, then able to sign Kevin Durant. But their team has built an identity about defense first. You have unbelievable shooting and, you know, this is going to be one of the most dominant teams, you know, for the next 4 to 5 years, sure.
I'm so glad you brought up Bob Myers. This is a huge Bob Myers house. So, Corey, last thought, when you talk about how Steph just threw the switch, he flipped the switch, became a two-time MVP. When you look at Golden State right now, they're pretty banged up. Does it concern you, or do they know where that switch is, and can they throw it once again when it matters most?
Of course, I believe that they can do it where it matters most, but it kind of concerns me that you possibly won't have Steph Curry in the first round. You have a lot of teams that's hungry. You know, it's like a dog that hasn't been fed, that needs to eat, and they're going to attack anything. And I think with the Houston Rockets of the world, this team is hungry. You know, Golden State, to me, kind of seems complacent. You know, almost like they're bored. They won two championships. They broke the all-time record. And so they're going to need some type of momentum to get them going, and hopefully – you know, they can try to get healthy and don't slip up with these teams. You know, regardless if they're going to play these teams in the lower bowl from the 6, 7, 8, they're playing the seventh best team in the entire league. But it's a chance that some teams can surprise them if they are not ready to play. We've seen Steve Kerr multiple times this season talking about that the team is not playing the right way. Hopefully that they can turn that switch on. We've seen it in the past. And get back to the way Golden State ball is played.
Corey McGetty, 14 years in the NBA and a member of the Big Three League. The Big Three season tips off June 22nd in Houston. He is a captain of the Power. Corey, it is so good to have you back. I really appreciate you.
Man,
Corey, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim, for having me on, for sure.
Corey, appreciate you. Thank you. Corey McGetty. God, he was one of the most amazing athletes that I'd see come out of college. He was incredible what he could do, athletically, physically. I mean, a great player. McDonald's All-American, 13th pick overall, but just physically, he was explosive. Absolutely incredible, I thought. And doing a great job as an analyst, breaking it down. All right, some real talk about Golden State saying, look, I'm a little concerned, one, that they're banged up, that Steph Curry won't be available in the first round. And number two, that they may be complacent. You've got a team like Houston that is hungry. Man, they're fierce. They badly want what Golden State has. And if Golden State's already won a couple and they banked all these wins, maybe when they go to throw the switch, maybe the light doesn't go on. If you're a Golden State fan, where do you come out on this? Yeah, my thing is, I'm not concerned about complacency. Of course they're complacent during the regular season. Of course the regular season's boring. Of course Houston wants it badly. Look at the track record they've had. Look at Chris Paul's rep in the postseason. Look at Mike D'Antoni's rep in the postseason. Even James Harden, who's been absolutely incredible the last couple of years, these guys have a rap as not being able to get it done in the postseason. You know they want it badly. Golden State, on the other hand, already has it. Of course they're going to be bored during the regular season. I think they know what to do at go time. I'm a little concerned about how banged up they are and not having Steph Curry in the first round. So, what do you think is going to happen? Who is the team to beat? Is it still the champs until somebody rips from them what is theirs? Or maybe is it the Rockets? 65 wins, top seed, MVP, hungry, fierce. Are they the team? We'll have that conversation when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Time for a sports update, middle of hour number two. Here is the latest.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. This segment's brought to you by Zipa. Snoring is disrespectful. It's also offensive. You've got to stop. And there's a way. By getting a Zipa. Make everybody happy with a Zipa. Zipa is 100% guaranteed. ZYPPAH.com. Zipa.com. All right, so let me make this very clear. Again, you know, I don't really don't give a damn about the tabloids, gossip, Page Six, celebrity news. Not where I live, not what I do, not my thing. You know, I could not care less about the Kardashians. That dysfunctional family of fame mongers does nothing for me. I get their brand. I get that they stack after stack. I get it all. I just don't care. It does not interest me at all. I do everything in my power to look away. It's not really in my house. It's not a thing. I do not care. However, and I'm not looking for convenient, easy reaction or hot takes or clickbait or any of that, or I would talk about it all the time. Not my thing. But there is an argument to be made that Tristan Thompson has got himself in so deep with his relationship and wrecked it, butchered it so badly and so publicly with such dirtbag timing that it might actually now be a sports story, at least in part. Because the NBA playoffs do get underway. And Tristan Thompson is a 20-minute-a-night gamer for a Cleveland team trying to run down another championship on LeBron's way out. Or, I mean, even if you want to make the argument, try and find a way to keep him there. Because this is a dude that, although he hasn't given them as much as he should or as much as they expect, he has given them 10 and 9 every single night he checks in off the bench. So he's all of that. He gives them some productivity. They need this guy to a certain extent. But on top of that, he is now public enemy number one in America. And it's only getting worse. And this is why this makes this a sports story. This guy was booed at home. And not because of the way he plays. Booed at home in their season finale. Booed at home on Wednesday night. And if it's not because of the way he plays, why is it? If you don't know, you're under a rock somewhere. It's probably got something to do with the fact that he was caught on tape stepping out on his pregnant wife, who happens to be Khloe Kardashian. Like one of the all-time bad guy moves. One of the all-time bad guy moves. Stepping out on your pregnant wife. Bad guy move. Horrible look. So this guy goes from getting busted to getting absolutely skewered online to getting booed at home to walking into the delivery room yesterday for 12 straight hours to see his girlfriend for the first time since she found out that he cheated on her. That's when he came together. That was their reunion. He walked in at the time of delivery. And if you thought those 12 hours could not be any more painfully awkward, Then I should also tell you that both of Chloe's furious sisters and mom were in the same room as well. So go ahead and pour one out for Tristan Thompson right now. Pour one out, because even though he deserves everything he's getting and more, man, how do you deny the sheer moxie that it would take to be in the same room as those four and showing up for the first time since it all went down for the birth of your child? And not just four women now. I mean, any guy does that to any woman and walks in on any family, it's going to be gruesome, and understandably so. But you do it to that family? You do it to those women? The four most famous women maybe in the world right now, with a track record of destroying any dude who dares cross them. I mean, there's a hit list, and this guy's right on the top. And if there's a hit list and he's on top, imagine him walking in at that moment. At that moment. Never mind that the whole world was keeping tabs on Chloe's labor yesterday. Now this guy's got to take the walk of shame from the delivery room to the locker room and get ready for the Indiana Pacers. Now this guy's got to play the game with all of that going on around him. I mean, I understand that certain athletes have an ability to compartmentalize. Good luck with that, T. Good luck compartmentalizing that. That. And isn't that the fear when you sign up for that? Isn't that the fear that when you go into that family business? That something like this might happen. So good luck starting the playoffs. Good luck getting your head right. Good luck with all of it. Just in time for the playoffs. I'm sure LeBron is really thrilled that his guy completely mind-melted right now in time for a playoff run. Strive for cuz, or strive for greatness out there, cuz.
With that, out here, cuz.
I mean, there is a sports angle here, right? Like, how the hell is that guy going to ball out? How is Tristan going to ball out when 100 million social media eggs are coming for this guy? 100 million is probably a small estimate. And then juxtapose that with the fact that he just had a kid. He just had a kid. Got a baby at home. The mother of the child, who is furious. 100 million eggs on social media that are probably even more mad than the four women in that delivery room. And this guy's got to play some ball right now. I'd say you can't script this stuff, but the producers of a reality show will find a way, right? Trust me on that. And mom will be directing the entire thing. Rest in peace, Tristan. Rest in peace. It was good while it lasted. And check this out. Us Weekly. Us Weekly, which is pretty much the Bible of this kind of dirt, reports the following. Tristan Thompson is, quote, incredibly remorseful for being unfaithful to Khloe Kardashian and hopes that she decides to stay in Cleveland with their newborn daughter. A source exclusively tells Us Weekly, and I quote, Tristan is making no moves to try and prevent Khloe from leaving and keeping their daughter in Cleveland. He is incredibly remorseful for everything that has happened and doesn't want to cause Khloe any more pain, end quote. As always, sorry for what happened, or sorry that he's in that situation. Sorry for doing what he did, or sorry for getting caught. Sorry for doing what he did and making her feel badly, or sorry for doing something that's stupid. Meanwhile, Us Weekly has a second source who said the following, and this is Rich. Tristan has been overcome with emotion and everything changed when Khloe gave birth. He is hoping that Khloe will choose to stay in Cleveland with their daughter, but isn't going to make any demands of her to do so. Chloe's mom made it very clear to Tristan that it would be very unwise for him to make any moves to keep the baby in Cleveland. Nothing like a custody battle over a kid that's 5 minutes old. They're already fighting over where the kid is going to be. That kid's been alive, what, 4 hours now? Wow. Problem with the kid? The kid didn't sign up for that. The kid didn't have a choice. The kid was born into it. Yeah, I'm sure this is going to be fine, Tristan. It's a good thing you can compartmentalize. This won't be a factor when you take the floor, I'm sure. Wooglin, 1839 tweets, Jim, we live under rocks, and even we know about Tristan Thompson getting it on with a couple of hotties at the bar. Regards, bums. That should have never seen the light of day. Romy, come on, man. This is from the Boomer 18. Romy, come on, man. Let this go so my man can keep his thoughts on the playoffs. Signed, Tiger Woods. Nick Sharkey tweets, man, this Tristan Thompson story makes me wonder about what kind of father and person he will be. Yours, the juice.
Oh,
no way. A reset of OJ allegedly being Chloe's pop. I didn't think that would come up. At Salahandro tweets, let's play some basketball!
Let's play some basketball!
Signed, Tristan walking into that delivery room. My man's got some stones now. I mean, yeah, it's his child. He damn well better be there. You're the father. You better be there. Imagine walking into that room with those four women after he got caught on tape doing what he did. Hey, ladies, got some cigars, Dominicans, anybody? Congratulations. Hey, babe. Mom. Mom. Dear Rome, do you know how much of a freaking bag you have to be to make the Kardashians likable? Good Lord, Tristan. War bums using paper clips as tie clips. Dan in Denver, RTN. Why are bums coming up in this? Hey, Dan, why didn't you leave that alone? That in and of itself would have been a good email. Do you know how much of a freaking bag you have to make the Kardashians be likable? Good Lord, Tristan. If you had just ended it there inside of Dan in Denver, RTN, I would have even read RTN. I mean, not only that, his own fans are booing him. How big of a bag would you have to be to get on the wrong side of your own fans? Your own fans are picking them over you. You know why? Because you violated one of the most obvious codes in the history of the world. It's one of the baggiest things, one of the worst things you could possibly do. You stepped out on your pregnant wife and got caught on tape. And they're taking her side. And it's the right side. Hey, Jim. I sincerely want to apologize to Chloe, my team, and my fans. There is no excuse for what I did. I am so sorry that I kissed a girl and I liked it. Signed, Trust Him Thompson. Denlesks, monogamously celibate. Yeah, Denlesks, I've seen your work. I believe that probably is true. I mean, what a mess. Bro, really? I mean, I'm not even going to go to that same thing I always say that, yeah, sex is undefeated. I mean, my man, honestly, look at who you're with. Look who you impregnated. You were going to get away with that. There's cameras on these people every second of every single day, and they're not far behind you. But you were going to step out on your pregnant significant other, and we weren't going to find out. Romy, I don't know what's more baggy, stepping out on your 8th month pregnant baby mama or being a dude named Tristan. Signed, a dude named Geoff. Geoff and Lincoln. I got to get out. Stay tuned. Hour number 3 coming up next. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Your thoughts on all of that and more next hour.